Ezekiel chapter 47, if you'll look there with me today. Children are going out to children's church. Ezekiel 47 is a vision of Ezekiel. It is a prophetic vision, actually, speaking to the millennial age that's to come. It's speaking generally to Israel, but practically to every one of us today. Praise God. This is the vision that Ezekiel had. Ezekiel 47 in verse number 1. Afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. Behold, there ran out waters on the right side. When the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, go down into the desert, go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. It shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Galeam. There shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. You see, this is not only a millennial message to Israel, but this is also a message to you and me today. God speaks to us primarily through his word. Now, I know that God has a lot of ways he can speak. He can speak, many ways to his people. But primarily, he speaks to us by his word, and it will always be, no matter how he speaks to you, it will all be consistent, always be consistent with the word of God. Amen. But this is a vision, a prophetic vision, a vision that has application to you and me today. This vision really reveals to us the gospel dispensation. It reveals the era that you and I are living in right now, the era of opportunity to spread the gospel. to take the gospel to whosoever will. What a great opportunity and what a privilege we have to be born and to be living in a time like this, when you can spread the gospel, when you can be an instrument of peace to spread the gospel. But the vision is the vision of a river. This river is a type of the Holy Spirit, a type of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. It flows out of the throne of God. And so we know that the source of this divine endowment of power is God Himself. It is only by Him that we're empowered to do the work of these last days. Amen. It is a river that it begins to come out, and at first it's a small amount of water, but then it grows and grows and grows. I think that we all need to be reminded that God, He starts His work in us. Sometimes it might be in a small, limited way, and don't ever limit what God might be doing, because God can speak to the person that is the heart, has the hardest heart, that's the most resistant to the gospel. God can speak by His Spirit and can plant the seeds of truth in their hearts that they can never get away from it. They're going to always have to deal with the fact that God is dealing with them and speaking to their heart. And I praise God for that. Notice that this river flows, first of all, by way of the altar. It's the last part of verse number one. By way of the altar. You see, this river only flows by way of the altar. The altar was symbolic of sacrifice. It was symbolic of consecration. It was symbolic of absolute dependence and consecration to God, to the plan of God, and to the will of God. To come by way of the altar is to say, I have laid down all of my will, all of my wishes, all of my life into Your hands, Lord. You do with me what You want to do with me. The river of God's Holy Ghost power always flows by way of the altar. It always comes by the way of sacrifice, consecration, dedication, commitment to God. If you want to be used of the Lord, then you need to be willing to lay down your life. One of the most sobering experiences that I had in Africa was to stand by the grave of a young man by the name of Troy Kilcrin. Troy was a free gospel student. He left the United States to go to help in the free gospel mission there. Troy was not only a teacher who taught in the Bible school, but he also was a mechanic. And they had a number of vehicles. Many of the pastors had motorcycles, and he was used of the Lord to keep their vehicles going. He received a call one day that one of the pastors was having trouble with their motorcycle. He stopped what he was doing, and he got in his vehicle, and he began traveling from the Bible school down a dusty single-lane road. Dust was so thick on the road that he didn't see the motorcade that was coming down the road. It was actually the vice president of the country and his entire motorcade of security. And not knowing what was going to happen, obviously, not seeing what was coming because of the dust, Troy pulled out and was hit by one of those vehicles. Troy didn't die immediately, but he died. And a few hours later, a young man who had dedicated his life to the work of God, to be a servant, to be used of the Lord, and he was buried there on the grounds of the Bible school. And I visited Troy's grave. Also, many of you know Ralph and Becky Heath, who've been here on a number of occasions at our missions meeting. They're the ones that laid the tile over here in our restrooms. And they spent a number of years in Sierra Leone as missionaries. And their little baby died at 2 weeks old. And that baby's grave was there. As I stood there and looked at those graves, I was reminded of the fact that people have paid a tremendous price to take the gospel into foreign lands. And I saw that their anointing and the blessing upon their life came by way of sacrifice and consecration. The enemy used that situation of the loss of their baby against Ralph and Becky, especially Becky. She went into deep depression. The house, I stood in front of the house that was now, it's very dilapidated, but I stood in front of the house and they told me the story that after the baby was born, she was so overwhelmed with grief and sorrow that for 7 days straight, they found a poisonous snake in their house for 7 days straight. And so the entire missions team went to that house and they prayed that night, all through the night, that God would give deliverance from this attack of the enemy against this young missionary couple. They never saw another snake in that house from that time on. Don't tell me that the enemy doesn't hate the gospel. He hates the gospel. He wants to destroy it. He wants to stop it. We experienced that for 2 weeks in a way like I've never experienced in all of my Christian life, all of my ministry. I've never witnessed such a powerful opposing force to what God was wanting to do. But I can assure you that the anointing and the Spirit of God will always flow by way of the altar. And if you want God's presence and power in your life, if you want the anointing of the Spirit of God in your life, it will always require sacrifice, consecration, dedication, selling out to God 100% in your life. Amen. If you want this river of anointing and power to be resting upon you, this river flowed and it grew by width and depth as it flowed. Now, that's not uncommon for rivers. As a matter of fact, in the northern part of the state of Colorado is the beginning springs of a river. At that place in northern Colorado, you can step across this little stream. But as it goes further south across Colorado and into Oklahoma, by the time it reaches Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I'm from, it's a great river. And the further south it goes, it gets to be bigger and bigger until finally it empties into the Mississippi River and down into the Gulf, and growing larger and larger. That's the normal course of a river, that all the tributaries add to the size and the depth of the river. But that's not the way it is with the river of God. There's no tributaries to the river of revival or the river of the Holy Ghost. God is the only source. Amen. Anything else that's flowing into it is not what you want. We don't need anything of this world. We don't need man-made ideas. We don't need our own plans and our own ideas. We just simply need this ever-increasing force of the power of the Spirit of God in all of our lives, in our church, in our community, the outpouring of the Spirit of God. We need to understand that that God wants us as a people and as a church. And I'm sorry that my voice is doing what it's doing. I'm just, Lord help me to get through this morning. That this river, that we as a church need to move into deeper waters. We need to move into deeper waters. I have to say also that in the years of my different experiences with the Lord, that whenever I have stepped out to try to do something that I cannot possibly do in my own strength, that's when I witness the supernatural. That's when I see it with my own eyes. I witness God working as I have witnessed that over these last couple of weeks. The mighty hand of God, first of all, to protect us, to watch over us, to take care of us through that time. I actually felt better and my voice was stronger And I preached several times in Africa with full voice. I must be allergic to Kentucky. I don't know. But something isn't working out. But I do know this, that as you step out, and I'm not saying that we all need to go to the mission field. We're not all called to some foreign field. But we are all called to step out and to do things that we can't do in our own natural power, our own natural ability. God is calling us to do just that. First of all, the waters were just ankle deep. I think there's a lot of people, maybe some of you here today in this service, your relationship with God has just kind of been a shallow relationship. You know about the Lord. You know about some things of the Spirit of God. But you're in shallow water. You know, when you're in shallow water, if you're in a little wading pool, you can get out and get in whenever you want to. That's why little kids like it. They like to jump in it and jump back out and have a big time in a wading pool. But whenever the water gets deeper, you can't jump in and out of your own at your own will. As it gets up to your knees and gets up to your loins, and as it gets deeper and deeper, there's a whole new level of commitment there. You can't get out when you want to. You're all in. And that's where God wants you and me to be. He wants us to get out of that area of our life where we're just barely surviving, where we're just barely a Christian, barely able to do something. Thank you for that. Where we are just barely, serving God, barely in the things of God. And I think that there may be some of you, you've been coming around church. We're glad you're here. Some of you, you've been coming around for a while, but no move toward the things of God. Let me tell you, God's given to you an opportunity. He's dealing with your heart. He's speaking to your heart. And you can kind of, flirt around with spiritual things, but then go back to the world and go back to your old life. But what God is looking for is a people who are willing to commit themselves to Jesus Christ, to the plan of God for your life, to say goodbye to the world and to your old life and to the way that you have been living, and to completely consecrate, dedicate yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. What can happen by way of this river? Well, the Bible says that this river can heal. Amen. That's what it says. This river says, the Bible says this river, wherever it flowed into the ocean. We know that the ocean is salt water, and salt water doesn't produce life, but kills. As a matter of fact, if you drink ocean water, it'll make you sick. Drink too much of it, and it can kill you. But this water flowed, of this river, flowed into the ocean, and whatever it touched, it healed the water and caused it to be able to have life and fruitfulness as a result of this river. Let me tell you, our lives can get messed up. Our lives can get into such big confusion and tore up by sin and the world. Things can get into such confusion that you don't know what's next, or you don't know the future. But I want you to know this morning, you can't face the future without Jesus. You can't go on without Him. You're going to have Jesus in your life. You're going to have to turn your life over to Him. And the only way that's going to take place is if you're willing to get out of the shallow waters of just wishy-washy Christianity and move out into deeper waters, to move into some things that God has for you. And don't forget that the call of God is on your life. And it's on my life. And it's on each of us here today. Don't forget that God has a purpose for you. And don't throw it away. And don't forsake the purpose and the plan of God for your life. Wherever that river flows, it heals. Wherever it flows, it changes. I know that sin can make a mess of your life. Sin can destroy and does terrible havoc to your life situation. But you need to turn toward God. You need to move in toward the deeper things of God. Consecrate yourself to Him and to the things that He has planned for you. Praise God. Give yourself completely to the Lord and allow Him to have His way in your life. Everything that this river touched would be revived, it says. There would be life because this river is a life-giving force. Hallelujah. Everywhere this river flows, it brings life. Why do we need to experience revival? Not just in terminology, but we need the river of the Spirit of God flowing in our lives and in our church, because we need to see that which is dead come back to life. We need to see new life, freshness of life, growing and the blessing of the Lord upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything this river touched was transformed by the life-giving power of this river. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have to move out of the ankle-deep water. Get out to where it's knee-deep. I don't know, I can't help but believe that that's symbolic of the deepening of your prayer life, the deepening of your commitment to the Lord. Get out of the ankle-deep water. Move into a new commitment to Jesus, to more time spent with the Lord. Begin to depend upon the power of prayer to bring you through the situations that you are in. I mentioned to those that were here Wednesday night how that we, on a daily basis, our Africa experience was one of one day everything going well, and the next day everything falling apart. And the enemy fighting so hard. Not only did the power go off, complete blackouts, but when they went to try to after the electric came back on, they paid the electricity bill by going to the electric company, and then they give them a code to enter in at their meter, at their location. And I think some even here do that kind of electric arrangement. But whenever they received the code, when they went to pay and to get the code for the next month's bill, the electric power company was on fire. It was a four-story building, and the building was going up in flames, and we drove down to see that that the whole place was on fire, which meant we had a couple of extended days of no electricity and then problems. He only has a very small generator, and so very little that could be done to get the radio station on the air. And then once it was on the air, once the power was back, then their power is so inconsistent. It's supposed to be 240 volts, but it'll go all the way down to 150, and then some. Then it'll go all the way up to 270. That's why we had problems with our equipment burning out. I'm telling you, every day, it seemed like we were fighting against the very pits of hell and the lies of the enemy. And I would wake up 4:30 every morning to the cry of that Muslim cry for prayer. And the most eerie sound you'll hear is it's broadcast all over the city, calling that city to prayer. But it's a Muslim prayer to a God that can't hear them when they pray. They need to hear the gospel. They need to know about Jesus and the reality of Jesus Christ. We fought day in and day out until finally God has helped, and that station has now been on the air all of this week, broadcasting as far as the airport, and that's about 18 miles in one direction. It's an amazing thing that the gospel is reaching out now to a city of 3 million people, and the majority of those people have radios and are listening to the radio all the time. Amen. Praise God. It's an amazing thing. You step out to do something for God, something that you can't do in your own power, and then the enemy will fight, but God will come in His mighty power to rescue you, to help you, to deliver you, and to help us to do what we cannot naturally do in our own power. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. This morning I want to challenge you to move out from where you are right now, where you are in your walk with the Lord, and to move out to begin to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to step out and do some things. I want to do something, Lord, to spread the gospel. I want to be used of you, Lord, to touch the lives of people. You may not feel like that you're equipped to do it or you have the gifts or the talents to do it, but if you will step out in faith, God will begin to move in your behalf. Let's move out into a little deeper things. That first of all, it was ankle deep and then knee deep and then to the loins, which is the center of the physical body, which really symbolizes the strength and the power of the physical body. And then fourth, it was waters to swim in. Amen. Too deep and too wide. And so finally, completely surrendered to the water. Completely surrendered to the depth of that water. And that's what God is looking for in you and in me, a complete surrender to Him, where we say, Lord, I can't do anything, but I want to do something for you. I want to be used of you. Would you empower me, Lord, to do what I can't naturally accomplish? And I want to assure you that God will move in your behalf. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I witnessed the times I would text back to the States and say, we need prayer, and I text several people. We need prayer. We need to see this take place. Only for a few hours to go by, the very thing that we asked for, it would turn around and God would begin to move. Daily we witness the mighty hand of God over these last 2 weeks, and I've come back with a newfound confidence in God and a newfound confidence in the promise of God that He will work for us right here at this location if we'll step out into the depths of His presence and His power and experience those things that He's made available to the people of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together and give God praise today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving in wonderful ways today. And everywhere that this Holy Spirit presence flows, there is life. The dead is revived, and there is new life and new fruitfulness. And we know, Lord, that you desire to flow through our lives. Help us to be filled with your Spirit to overflowing. Lord, to be anointed of your Spirit so that we can be used of you, Lord, to touch the lives of people. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Oh, Lord Jesus, we are in need. Desperately, Lord, we are in need of your touch or anointing. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory to God.